Praise the Lord. He's good this morning. He's good all the time. Praise God. Would you turn with me to a book of Isaiah chapter 6, a passage we are familiar with, but I just feel impressed to go here this morning. The comments made at the meeting last night confirmed this word to my heart, and I trust it will be more clear as we comment on the scriptures. But in this chapter 6, Isaiah sees a vision. And I think there's so much to this that I did not comprehend before, but I understand it. I trust more now as I read this scripture. And I'm kind of backing into the problem. I'm giving you the solution before the problem. I know that may not make a lot of sense at the moment, but just trust me. I hope I get there and make it clearer. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. The title of seraphims is the translation is burning ones or fiery ones. It signifies their purity as those who serve God around the throne. They were angelic beings of high order. And you'll notice that four of the wings were used to indicate their sense of unworthiness in the near presence of God, for only two of the wings were in readiness for active service. With two, they covered their face. With two, they covered their feet. An expression of unworthiness. Let me go on. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And I want to stop the reading right there. One of the greatest attributes of the Lord to worship him is his holiness. And it's revealed here is God's glory and majesty and holiness demands that those who serve him are holy and must be holy also. It is the church today needs a vision of God's holiness. And here we see such a beautiful expression. This was not immediately in his ministry, but the Lord gave him this vision that he could see what God was calling him to do. And in the presence of God, he recognized his unworthiness and his sinfulness. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. He recognized his insufficiency. And how beautiful it is when we get in the presence of God, when we truly get in the presence of God, because when we behold his holiness, no one has to tell you you're a sinner. No one has to tell you you're lost and undone. No one has to witness that to you. Immediately, the presence of the Lord seems to convict your soul that oh, I'm not worthy to be in this place. I'm not worthy to be here. And that's, to me, what Isaiah's feeling was as he witnessed this beautiful vision that he saw before the Lord. And here, the Lord reveals to him that his sins need to be purged. His sins needed to be purged and revealed to him what his calling was going to be. Send me. He gave him this vision that he might understand. And the seraphims cried, "Holy, holy, holy." This triple repetition is understood as being part of the, related to the doctrine of the Trinity. Holy, holy, holy. Oh Lord, would you help us with this vision? And this is a beautiful thing if you leave it by itself even, but there's more to it than that. In the meeting last night, the scripture was quoted in Proverbs, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." That's part of the scripture, but that's the part I want to emphasize this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I struggled with that I was contemplating what's the depth of that scripture? What is the depth of it? And this word perish doesn't mean to die. I was thinking of die, but no, it means to show lack of restraint, to let loose. Where there is no vision, can I put it like this? The people run wild. Where there is no vision. And what is the vision that he's talking about here? You know, it seems to me as we read the scriptures, God does not reveal, give us, you know, revelation into, you know, what things are going to be. When I think of vision, I think of what's going to happen in the future. What's down the road? How's my life going to be? Or what's God's going to do? And that vision. And what I see is God doesn't reveal that much to us, knowing that we probably can't handle it or whatever his reasons are, but it doesn't seem like he reveals that much to us. At times it is a faith walk, a day-by-day faith walk. Yes, there are promises, but specific revelations, he doesn't seem to give us that. What is this vision that he's talking about? Where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people run wild, the people perish. What's he talking about here? Where there is no vision, no experience with the Lord. Just as Isaiah was in the presence of the Lord, just as he was in the presence of God, God revealed himself. He saw where he was, and God showed him that his sin needed to be purged. And God showed him what his calling would be, where there is no vision, where we don't stay close to the Lord. You can't serve the Lord on a casual basis. You can't come to church on a casual basis, once in a while. You can't pray once in a while. You've got to stay in the presence of the Lord. That's what it says to me. You've got to get in his presence and stay in his presence and say, "Lord, continue to speak to me. Continue, Lord, that vision." How do we get that vision? Coming in the presence of the Lord, coming to the place, to the house of God, where we can come together as the people of God, and the Holy Spirit begins to move, and the Holy Spirit begins to witness to us, and the Holy Spirit will inspire a song, a testimony, the Word of God, and begin to open our understanding. When we get to a prayer meeting, the presence of the Lord, we get into his presence. Maybe it's in our prayer closet at home, whatever the case may be, but we need to stay in the presence of the Lord to understand what he expects from us, to hear, have that revelation daily, that revelation with him, what God, how God deals with us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God, how we look at situations that the Bible describes. In Revelation, the churches, the church of Ephesus, left their first love. How did that happen? How did they lose their first love? They were doing the works of God, but how did they lose that first love? They lost the vision. They lost the vision of being in the presence of the Lord. Oh, praise God. The church at Sardis, had a name that they're alive, but they're dead. How did that happen? They lost the vision. They lost the vision. Oh, praise God. Laodicea, lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. How did that happen? How did a Holy Ghost church, how did that happen? They lost the vision of being in the presence of the Lord. We can get so mechanical in our worship. We can get so matter-of-fact in our worship that we miss the presence of the Lord and the fire from heaven, that we miss that relationship where He speaks to our heart intimately. Oh, praise God. It's not I went to church this morning. No, I got in the presence of the Lord and He spoke to my heart. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Dallas Holmes sang a song some time ago. I saw the Lord high and lifted up and rightfully adorned. I saw the Lord and He saw me. Oh, glory to God. He saw me. Praise God. Lord, help us to get in the presence, in Your presence. Help us, Lord, to enjoy and to keep that fire that burning in our hearts. Praise God. Isaiah, the Lord spoke to us. The Lord gave us something to realize. He saw a special vision, something that a perception, however it was. But you and I may not see seraphims or the Lord on His throne, but we can come into the presence of the Lord and experience His presence. Praise God. Oh, Lord, we have access into the throne room of heaven. Do you realize that? We have access into the throne room of heaven. And in the presence of the Lord, He continues to speak to us. He helps us. Oh, Lord, draw us closer to You. Don't let the fire go out. Don't miss the presence of the Lord, the vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The people run wild. They do their own thing. They become mechanical, whatever the case may be. And we're all subject to that. This is not a criticism of anyone. We're all weak. We need to stay in the presence of the Lord to enjoy His goodness. I love the psalmist, Psalm 27. One thing have I desired, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold His beauty, inquire in His temple. There is the expression. There it is, right there. One thing have I desired, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's not talking about a place. He's talking about being in the presence of the Lord, having the Lord speak to him and beholding His beauty, understanding what God expects, understanding His nature, being transformed into that image. Oh, praise God, that the Holy Spirit begins to work in us. The Holy Spirit begins to mellow us out. The Holy Spirit begins to take the rough edges off. The presence of God causes us to just melt and to be subject to Him. Praise God. Isaiah was convicted immediately by the presence of God. Oh, what the church needs today is the presence of God in their lives. I'm not talking a corporate church. I mean individually. We need the presence of the Lord in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to just move us, praise God, to get in His presence. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, I can't live without Your presence. I can't exist. I can't survive, Lord, without Your presence. I need to get in Your presence, praise God, where You can deal with me. And all the facade, all the excuses, all the justification just fades away, praise God. It's gone. There's no more, well, I didn't mean to do that, or I should have done that, or, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. All that goes away. Oh, yes. It's me and You, Lord. I'm looking at the Holy of Holies. I'm looking at the Holy One, praise God, and He is so righteous and pure and holy. Lord, transform me into that image that I become holy like You. Oh, praise the Lord. We have so many encouragements in the Word of God. Peter writes in his epistle, in a couple of places, he says, bear with me a moment. He says, as obedient, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. God's command for us is to be holy, sanctified, set apart. Be holy, for I'm holy. We can't participate in the things of this life. We can't get involved in those things. We have to, there's a separation that has to take place. And we have to get in the presence of the Lord, because you see, this old nature will rebel. This old nature will fight against those things. This old nature will start to question and start to rebel against the Word of God. This old nature will make excuses. This old nature, you know, will cause us to figure out how that we can work around. But when we get in the presence of the Lord, all that is gone. It's just melted away, because you cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. There's no way you can stand there and be justified in how you behave and what you say and what you do. Lord, please forgive me. I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah couldn't make any excuses. Isaiah couldn't say, well, you know, he may have been guilty of things, but he couldn't say anything. But Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, Father, help us that we get in your presence. The Holy Spirit may move us. The Holy Spirit may work in us. Oh, praise God that we draw closer and become more like him. You know, some people read the scriptures and almost with an attitude of, how far can I go and still be okay? And that's the wrong attitude. How far can I go? And is this okay? Can I do that? It's always looking for, pushing the envelope. How far can I get? Instead of, how close can I get to God? How close can I get to the Holy One? How much more can I look like him and act like him and behave like him? How much more? Lord, give us that attitude this morning, oh God. Help us and strengthen us, because we have this humanity that is weak. We don't intend to be like that, but this humanity rebels against God, and it has to be subdued in all costs. And I say, Lord, help us. Isaiah, what a revelation to see the seraphims and God on his throne. Oh, praise the Lord. We may never have that vision, but certainly we can have the vision of the presence of God. And I'm not talking about eyes, you know, what we see with our eyes, but a spiritual vision is an experience with God. Praise the Lord. Oh, help us. Help us, Lord, in this day. Help us, Lord, to continue on. Purge us from all the sin. Purge us from our own ways, oh God, and open our eyes. It's at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a one-time revelation, but it's continuous revelation that the Lord gives us. Revelation of his love, of his mercy and grace. We don't learn it all in one shot. We don't learn it when we first come to Christ, when we find out that we're sinners and the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. We don't learn it all then. It's over time, as we draw closer to God, that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal himself, open our eyes and our understanding to who we are and what we need. Praise God. In this last epistle, Second Epistle of Peter, he says, regarding the day of the Lord and the coming of the day of the Lord, he says, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, The elements shall melt with fervent heat, etc., etc. Seeing all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. O Lord, what manner of persons ought we to be? What kind of people does God call? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. O Lord, help us this morning to be holy like you. I believe he gave this revelation so we could understand. And the scripture in Proverbs, where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people run wild, there's no direction. They do what's right in their own sight. In the book of Judges, the last verse, it said there was no king in the land and everybody did what was right in their own sight. That's what we get to. When there is no vision, when there is no vision, we figure it out ourselves. And God says, just look to me. Oh, praise the Lord. Brother, sister, would you come forward? I feel to close this message right here this morning. Lord, help us. Help us to get in your presence, to experience, Lord, your love and your compassion and just experience your presence, that it strips away everything else. Remember, you that are baptized, remember when the Holy Spirit came in? It's hard to describe in words how you felt, the experience that you had, but you felt the presence of God in such a, it was a vision. I like to call it a vision because you experience the presence of God. The Holy Spirit was dwelling within and manifesting his power, manifesting himself in you. And everything was stripped away. Everything was stripped away and it's like, and who will go for us? The Holy Spirit was directing you. Holy Spirit is saying, it just filled you with love to say, Lord, help me to bring this to someone else. I remember many times in the prayer meetings, someone would get baptized with the Holy Ghost, and as just after some time of praying and they seemed to cool down a little bit, the first thing they did was get up from where they were sitting. If someone was not baptized around them, they'd go pray for someone else. You wanted to share it. You wanted to, Lord, who will go for us? Send me. The Holy Spirit just encouraged us. The Holy Spirit just moved us to do his will, to move for him. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May the Lord help us all to draw closer to him. May his name be praised.